Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, July 23, 2010. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Does wheat still have another leg up in it? And will corn and or soybeans go along for the ride if wheat pushes even higher? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Services. Our panelists today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's open today's discussion with this question. This past week, wheat was again the leader to the upside, and late in the week, it tagged a short-term technical objective of 610, the September basis. Do you see the wheat market going even higher? And if so, how soon, Dan Zwicker?
I don't see anything in the technical picture that is telling me that it's topping anytime soon. It's had a strong run to the upside. There's no doubt about that, and it's probably time for some consolidation. But as far as the way I view the chart picture, the uptrend is intact. And I think, you know, at least the way I'm looking at the chart, I think 6.25 on the September futures is still within reach.
Dan, will it take, in your estimation, new fundamental wheat information to reach that price objective?
Well, markets have to be fed, and maybe that's, you know, all bull markets are going to have to be fed with declining world stocks. I think for the time being, though, the market, we've had the first 3 weeks of July here, basically, and up month. I think next week's going to be, you know, kind of profit-taking month, so I look for some consolidation. And I think as we look toward that August crop report, I think you're going to see some downward adjustment in world wheat levels. And as long as supplies are declining, the market has to recognize that with higher prices.
The wheat-corn spread is $2.25. If wheat does continue to rally, will corn go along for the ride? And if so, why? Sherman Newland.
Oh, yeah, I think it will. If wheat does continue to rally, I think corn will go along with it because they're both feed grains, and that'll, you know, help the corn market out.
Will beans go along for the ride as well, Sherman?
I think they will. Yes, I think they will. You know, rising tide raises all ships, so with it depends on how high the wheat market wants to go. I think the bean market still is up in the air as far as what weather will be in August, and that'll be a big determining factor also.
The potential high-pressure ridge over the heart of the Corn Belt did not happen this past week. Fundamentally, how do you see the corn crop, and what do you project new crop carryout to be come the August crop production in WASDE reports? Wayne Nelson.
Well, I think we saw that the crop that is still standing is awfully good. And I think that as we look at some of the yield data that some of the farmers are going out with their yield projections, we're seeing some dramatically high numbers. Some of them 250 and above where there is corn in the field. The question we all have to ask is, how much corn is there not there anymore that is drowned out? And remember that it's not just a bad spot in the field. It's a zero spot in the field is what we're looking at. So, you know, I think that most of the analysts pegged the production right at the 163.4 or so this last week. If you took the average of the analysts that were polled, we look at with the improved weather that we've seemed to have had here with the additional rain, that's probably within the scope of everything. We're not going along with some of the analysts that are pushing it up closer to 167, 168 like we were before we had the drowned out spots. But, you know, the carryout is going to be affected so much by what Congress does because ethanol is the wild card at this point in time. Ethanol, will we subsidize it? Will we have the blending credit? Will we raise to 15% if the EPA does it? That's the real wild card on what the government figures and how they're going to look at that. The other thing is, yes, can we kick up some corn export numbers? That's what they're hoping for or talking about if we don't have the feed wheat available out of the areas in Russia or Kazakhstan. And remember, it's going to be 90 degrees plus in Moscow this weekend.
Of course, August carry out depends on 2009 carry in. And there are lots of traders that are still scratching their heads over an apparent 35% increase in corn feed demand given smaller hog and cattle numbers. But maybe it has more to do with undeliverable bushels and a 5 to 10% difference between weight and volume on many bushels. So, bottom line, do we have a good handle on 2009 carry-in? And if not, when, if ever, might we, Wayne?
That's a very good question. We don't feel that that was actually used up as feed. Part of it was because, okay, it takes a lot more volume to make 100 pounds of low test weight corn than it does heavy test weight corn. Also, it takes the same to put on weight on a hog, on a cow, whatever. So our feed conversion is bad. We'd heard from some private sources that some of the major grain companies were estimating that half the corn left in farmers' bins now is poor quality or would receive a dock if hauled in, and some of it a very substantial dock. And they're wanting the farmers to hold that over and wait for new corn. We're hearing there's some new corn being harvested in southwest Arkansas now, but it's going in the bin to be dried. It's a little wet, but I think that the elevators are going to be very anxious to be getting some good corn to try to blend with this corn that's left in the farmers' bins now.
Let's take a look at how prices settled. September wheat had a high on the week of 610, a low of 572 and three quarters. September wheat finishing the week at 596 and a quarter, up 9 from last week. July wheat, the settlement there, 664 and a half, up 10 and a half from a week ago. September corn, the high 391 and a quarter, a low of 369 and three quarters. Settlement for September corn at 371 and a quarter, down 23 and a half from last week. December corn, 384 and a half, down 23 and three quarters from a week ago. August soybeans, a high on the week of 1026, a low of 998 and a half. August soybeans settling at 1017, down 2.5 from last week. November soybeans at 981 and a half, or down 3.5 from a week ago. Looking at the monthly charts, it appears that all systems are go, with a few trading days remaining to close out higher in wheat and soybeans, and maybe with a little bit of help, corn as well. If this happens, does it suggest removing counter-seasonal? And are there fundamental reasons for that, Dan?
It's very rare to get a higher close in July when you look at it from a statistical point of view. So as a rule, when you do have a higher finish in July, that is a halfway decent indication that you are going counter-seasonal. But when you start looking at those statistics, it's real hard to make a calendar year high once you get past July 31st. You begin to then only get into a one chance in four to go on and make higher highs. So in order to do that, I think you're going to have to see probably some weather adversities begin to take hold during August. Something's going to have to kind of come in here and kind of shrink the supplies down, or you're going to have some pretty good demand numbers come into the complex, and I think you're going to see that. I think there's a lot of demand out there that's going to come forward. But we'll have to kind of see, I think, how the weather pattern here plays out. But at least for right now, you've got to say that the corn crop is nearly made. I don't think it's 100% made yet, but we've got enough moisture. The moisture came at a good time. There are just a few areas of the Corn Belt that's probably short of moisture. So at least the corn crop at this point in time, and that's what your numbers reflect with the lower close, that the trade is somewhat comfortable with corn crop prospects at this point.
If you are a corn bull and are looking at the charts, you would say that Friday's close might give you pause, but the 50-day moving average in December sets at 367.75. Would you consider that a line in the sand for the beginning of next week, Wayne?
Well, I think that we're looking more at 974.25, to be very honest, is the figure that we were using, but yours is lower, so that means it'd be a lot deeper line in the sand. They're maybe just going to trip over mine and get towards yours, but along the way. One of the things that happened this last week on Thursday, Dave, and I just want to bring this up, is they raised the margins on wheat and corn, and generally as we raise margins in a market that's rallying, which seems like just because of influx of money and things like that, it tends to slow down or stop the rally when margins are raised.
Many traders think that the bulk of the new crop corn made it through pollination in good shape, but they are beginning to focus on ear counts and test weight. But that 163.5 bushel per acre number from USDA is pretty large, considering USDA has never in its history forecasted a number higher on an August crop report than last year's 159.5 BPA. So if yield goes down on the August report, how will the trade take it, Sherman?
I think they're I think that'd be a bullish number. I mean, if it would go down, Dave, they're figuring in, like I said, a 163. I mean, I've seen some services say the national yield may be closer to 161 or below that. It's going to be very hard to get a good handle on this crop until they start getting out and walking the fields and looking at it. The yields are highly variable. There's places that have good crop yields, and there's going to be some places that are not. We've had a tremendous amount of rain. We've lost a lot of nitrogen. It's going to be very hard to get a high yield. I think the 165, 66, 67 numbers are out of the woods now, I think. But 163 or below, I think the trade would have to put more premium back into the price because of the good demand that looks like it could be out there.
Okay, let's bottom line this with all of you. What do you think it will be on corn and soybeans for the futures between now and the August 12th crop production report, and why? Dan?
Well, I would look for some weakness. I think, like I said, I think there's a week of consolidation to some declines here coming at us here between now and the end of July. And then I think it's just going to be patience and probably see a little short covering rally going into the crop report. I don't see any reason why USDA is going to change their numbers a whole lot. I think the August crop report is plant population. We got good plant population. They multiply it by average year weight. So I think you're going to see USDA come out with 163, 164 type yield. I think if they would come in with something much lower than that, I think it would be awfully bullish to the market. But we'll have to kind of wait and see on that.
Sherman?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't be – nothing of what the government going to do would surprise me anymore. But if they come in below 163, that would be a very bullish number. Beans, I still think it's going to be tough to know what beans are going to do because of the August weather. There's some good beans out there. Then there's some really short beans out there. So the yield's still up in the air, I think, on the beans.
Wayne?
I'd agree with Dan, but I'm going to also throw in the wild card of that the weather forecast changes comes Monday, and would change and bring a high-pressure ridge in or a blocking ridge in. We're going to take a real close look and see how the tropical storm, which slash could be hurricane, when it hits, if it loops Texas and goes west, or if it comes up through the Delta and up through the Memphis area and like that. We'd like to see it hook back and bring some rain showers into part of the Delta there. That would help a lot of things. But all in all, we look for a fade with a little short covering into the report.
Sherman, what should a producer do in their marketings with the information that we've talked about so far? Assume our marketer has not done a lot of new crop sales.
I was thinking about that on the drive up. If you're in an area and you know you've got good yields, you've had a good year so far, and you're going to have some good-looking corn out there, if we can get a pop before this August report and you haven't done much of anything, I think you need to do something as far as getting some sales made on the books, either cash-wise or using some puts.
In 2 minutes, we'll hear from Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Services.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Muggy summer weather kept a tight grip on Illinois residents again this week. Dew points remained in the 70s for the most part, helped by occasional showers and thunderstorms in some parts of the state that maintain the low-level moisture supply. Fortunately, as uncomfortable as it was, the truly hot weather was limited. High temperatures this week were generally in the 80s, which is close to normal, except for far southern Illinois, where the mercury reached the low 90s on most days. Rainfall this week was much above normal over the southern half of Illinois, but much below normal across the northern half. Most of the showers and thunderstorms this week have occurred along and south of a weak frontal boundary that has bisected the state. The front lifted north late Wednesday, and that produced some rain across far northern Illinois on early Thursday morning, but it by no means hit all counties. We are not going to see a big change in the overall weather pattern next week. A ridge of high pressure will hold tight over southeastern and the southern U.S. most of the week, meaning more of the same. Very warm, humid, and a daily chance for pop-up showers and thunderstorms. There are signs, though, that the ridge will begin moving west late next week. That would allow winds aloft to become northwesterly and perhaps push somewhat cooler and drier air southward. However, the jury is still out on that, and we'll have to keep our fingers crossed for that cool weather. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
You're listening to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Our panelists today are Wayne Nelson, Sherman Newland, and Dan Zwicker. Joining us today by phone is Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Commodities. Thanks for being with us today, Jerry.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the invitation.
Jerry, what do you think is the yield on 2009 corn and its impact on 2010?
Well, I'm one of these people that have been a little cautious about last year's yield, primarily because of this test weight issue, and now I guess we still have officially a 164.7 yield from the USDA, but I think a real yield might be actually something less than that. So that's kind of influencing me about how much optimism I have of where we're at for the 2010 year. But Dan mentioned that we really are dealing with an August crop report here that is plant population and average ear weights, and so we'll see how the USDA wants to start this thing out. We definitely have expectations here of pretty good plant populations because of GMO.
Questions for Jerry Sherman.
Do you feel this week that the trade's getting more comfortable with the corn yield a little bit higher than the 163 average, the way they've taken the market down 23 cents this week?
Yeah, I think that. And also I think the other issue that came into this week's scenario was the huge jump in open interest that we had on the commitment of traders last week that made it kind of vulnerable and turned it a little bit of a poor technical response. If we hadn't, I think, taken out $4 so easily early in the week, I think we'd have maybe a little better-looking chart. But wheat and beans hung together.
Wayne?
Yeah, if you're a farmer out here now, would you be selling this rally, or do we think we need to sit back and might see a bigger one down the road?
Well, that's a very, very interesting question, and I think Dan's response there talking about there could be another leg up in the wheat market. As to the timing on it, boy, that's really at the mercy of what we see in next week's weather forecast. If it's if it goes ahead and puts another streak of another 10, 12 days out there on the computers, I would suspect that the wheat market's not going to slow down here for us, even we think it deserves a consolidation from there. And that might bring back the corn market. At this point, we definitely have to get above the 410 zone. I think there's an outside shot that we could go to the 425, 430 would be my topside expectations here. And that could come around the crop report and on the August 12th, or it could come ahead of that if wheat gets really rambunctious. But definitely I think producers need to step up in here. And personally, my recommendations have been in the 40 and 50% level. I started out selling this corn crop the last winter, even before we had the final crop production report. So I've been trying to get stuff in this $4 or plus type range in most cases and not be selling things below that for producers.
Dan.
Yeah, Jerry, it just seems to me watching the markets here is that the general trade, and I'm not necessarily sure what I mean by the general trade, but it just seems like everybody's more easily swayed to the bear side and ready to take the short side is with a little bit of encouragement, they're willing to sell it. Am I misreading that, or is that kind of where the default mode is for traders in Chicago?
Definitely. I think you've picked up the right side of the mindset. Part of it's because of the seasonalities that we all know that are part of this game, and everybody knows that the trapdoor can always fall apart on these things. Even when we thought we had some pretty ugly-looking fundamentals out there, the trapdoor can come along. I think, though, at this point, the wheat issues that are in this market that initially we kind of looked at and says, oh, this is not that big a deal, and it'll kind of pass, and the corn and beans are still going to be in pretty good shape in the U.S. That's a major changes going on in our competitors' supplies out there, and that also impacts our coarse grain numbers. If Russia, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, parts of Eastern Europe all of a sudden are not going to be out there as low-price leaders, all of a sudden that's going to open up, I think, export capabilities. And at this point, how many dollars does China still have in their pocket? They were willing to buy corn this year with a little so-called issues over there from last year's crop. That could still have some issue in here to expand our corn demand longer term. But you have to be protecting some downside risk here into the fall. We still have at least 370 and maybe even 350 in this thing in the worst-case scenario if we have a big backup in the wheat.
Sherman.
Yeah, you mentioned China. I mean, how much do you think they're going to be out there, and how long do you think they'll continue to be a buyer of this corn market? I read a story the other day that said that next year that looked like they could buy maybe another 5 million metric ton of corn. Somebody pushed the pencil and said we might need another 4 million acres, you know, to compensate for some of that. I mean, what are you hearing?
Boy, that's a very interesting subject matter, and there's lots of people's opinions on both sides of that one. I really don't have any magic connection into the Beijing mentality. I think the interesting thing that has occurred here is I think if you just look at observations here, Beijing has not been made no edict this year that you couldn't import GMO corn. And they were looking as much as their internal prices as they were looking at the idea of that we don't need to be the self-sufficiency mentality that's been around for how many years. I think that's an interesting scenario that does open things up. And from what we can seem to tell right now, there's China's demand has went up 8 or 9 million metric tons this year for feed demand. Their middle class and their desire to expand meat to that whole society there is amazing number. And is a 160 crop over there, or 65 crop going to be able to do it without some implications into it? That would really be an interesting scenario. Can we see another 250 million bushels or 200 million bushels of U.S. corn going into the Chinese? That's where everything really starts to go, where we're going to have competition on our internal acreage numbers for 2011. Because we now have a wheat price over there that's somewhat attractive, wouldn't you say, for the soft red guys, which up until 6 weeks ago, we didn't think we were going to see one bit of additional wheat being planted in this country. And now you got numbers over here with insurance policy numbers that could attract 2 million acres. That takes things a little more interesting for some longer-term acreage battles.
Wayne, when is South America going to, farmer going to let loose of their beans? I mean, last year they didn't have any to sell. This year they had record production, and they don't seem to be selling.
It's all back into the value of the real and this whole issue that seems to be kind of pushing and shoving between the Argentinians and the Chinese. The Chinese at this point have continued to buy beans from Argentina. This week, interestingly enough, our Argentine president decided to put more restrictions on Argentine products down there, or excuse me, on Chinese imports into their country. And so there's some ideas they might even decide to stop buying beans from Argentina, which would be interesting. Interesting government down there, as we all know, from there. So that is interesting situation. The cost structure that they have down there versus what we see our cost structure, and it all gets back to transportation, as we kind of know, is a big factor in moving those beans from the interior into the export situation. That's a huge factor in there that's changed their mindset. I think there will be pushing and shoving to get some more of that out of there from that standpoint. But with a million metric tons a week, 52, 55 million metric tons of imports from China in 2011, we still probably need some more beans, too.
Dan.
Just from a risk management point of view, and I know southern Illinois farmers and Tennessee farmers, Kentucky farmers, and southern Indiana farmers haven't got their wheat planted yet, but it just looks to me, when you take a look at what new crop wheat prices are offering, and then you take a look at what November 11 soybeans are looking at, that looks like some pretty good opportunities anyway, if planting goes real well. Would you have any suggestions on opportunities or risk management strategies for that?
If we do have this little weather scenario potential or scenario out of Russia, I'd be looking at let's just say the numbers in the $6.80 to $7 range. What's wrong with that?
Jerry, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks again for having me. Have a good day, people.
That's Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Services in Chicago, Illinois. We would like to thank our panel, Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Remember, you can access Commodity Week programs and listen to daily agricultural programming on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. This is Dave Dickey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.